Turning your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Now this morning we're going to talk about the gift of spiritual discernment and its great importance in the church and the ministry today. I wanted to spend one more day on the subject of spiritual discernment as we are studying the book of Proverbs. Before moving on to something new, spiritual discernment, as we have seen before, is of great importance today. We live in an ungodly world that is getting worse by the day. False teachers and false doctrine abound. Sin and idolatry are rampant. The wickedness of our culture and society increases every day as the demonic agenda of the liberal establishment is being written into law and promoted in culture and society. And because of this, it is not difficult to see that there is a growing lack of spiritual discernment in the church. Many are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and are easily led astray by the various evils in our culture, false doctrine, ungodly practices, vain superstitions, as well as a great deal of the political correctness. And a great deal of the lack of this spiritual discernment today in the church and on the part of ministers and Christian leaders is on account of the accommodation that is given to the growing evils of culture and society, the apostasy that we see in our culture, false doctrine, the influences of all the deviant forms of Christianity, and the unwillingness of pastors and leaders to be faithful to Scripture and sound doctrine. It is deeply troubling, because instead of being faithful to Scripture and sound doctrine, they are more and more accommodating to worldly philosophies, to false religion, and to political correctness. William Ames rightly said that those who betray the truth by compromising with error soon become incapable of discerning between truth and error. And sadly, this is becoming all too common. And not only in the world where you would expect it among unbelievers and pagans and those who are influenced by relativism and paganism, but it is also increasingly common in the church, troubling among pastors and Christian leaders, and even those who profess to be Reformed. So we're going to talk again about the great importance of spiritual discernment in the church and the ministry. And this morning we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and the gift of spiritual discernment, its use, its proper use in the church and the ministry. And then in the evening, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the blessings of God that come with a life of spiritual discernment. That's the conclusion, really. And so it'll be shorter. This morning we're going to talk about the gift of spiritual discernment, and of course, this will be longer and more doctrinal than the evening sermon. The evening is really the conclusion and application. Now, while every believer is to be wise and discerning and following Christ, God especially equips certain believers, and especially pastors and Christian leaders, with the gift of discernment, and that for the blessing and edification of His church. Now, discernment is important for the Christian life. It's, of course, important in following Christ, making godly decisions, taking up the cross. It's important in knowing and doing the will of God. But it is especially important for the church, for the ordering of public worship, for the ministry of the word, for the discipling of Christians in faith, and for the counseling and instructing of those in the way of life and following Christ, and especially, of course, those who fall into sin or in the snare of false teaching. It's to this end that Christ gives to believers, as well as and especially to ministers of the gospel, the gift of spiritual discernment. It is a spiritual gift that Christ gives to His church. And this is what Paul is clearly saying here in 1 Corinthians 12. While instructing the church at Corinth on the work of the Holy Spirit and explaining to them the nature and design of all the various gifts of the Spirit that are to be used for the edification of the body of Christ, Paul makes mention in verse 10 of the gift of spiritual discernment. And so he speaks of the discerning of spirits. But notice the whole context. Notice in verses 7 through 11, Paul writes saying, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So notice in verse 10, Paul says that there is a spiritual gift that is spoken of as the discerning of spirits, given to believers by the Holy Spirit for the blessing and edification of the church. In the midst of all these others that are given as not only apostolic gifts that are used in the time of the apostles, but all these others, wisdom and knowledge and understanding, governments and so, the gift of discernment is a spiritual gift, like the rest of them, a fruit of Christ's resurrection, an important aspect of not only the ministry of the gospel, but of discipleship and the government of the church that is designed to bring the church to perfection and maturity in Christ. That's, of course, the purpose of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Paul's explanation of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives for the edification of the church. Now, today, more than ever, the church needs discernment, needs men, pastors, and Christian leaders with the gift of spiritual discernment. It's very sad that there is such a great lack of spiritual discernment in the church today, as I said, because of the growing apostasy and spiritual declension, idolatry, superstition, false doctrine, fabricated religious experiences, lying signs and wonders, religious hypocrisy, covetous practices, sexual immorality, as well as the evil of Christian leaders accommodating to cultural idolatry and political correctness. These all abound in the church and the ministry today, just as they did in the church and city of Corinth, to whom Paul is writing. So what was true in the ancient world, in the apostolic era, in Paul writing to the church at Corinth, is tragically true today. We live in an environment like Corinth. The church and many believers are inundated with a similar pattern of relativism and Gnosticism and paganism that undermines the truth of the gospel. The church today then needs to have men who are wise and discerning, those who hold fast to the word of God and are able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convict those who contradict the word in order to build up the church in faith and love. Now, this is necessary not only for the faithful ministry of the gospel, but for the glory of God and the godly edification of the saints. John Trapp rightly said, those who are wise and discerning in their knowledge of Christ are those who are able to lead others to the greatest spiritual blessing in Christ. Wisdom, knowledge, and discernment are necessary for the building up of the body of Christ, for godly reformation of the church. So there are seven things we want to look at from this verse this morning as it relates to the gift of spiritual discernment and its great use and value for the church and for the blessing of God's people. We're going to talk about spiritual discernment and the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about its purpose as a gift. Spiritual discernment in the ministry of the word. Talk about the diversity of its application. The combating of evil. Spiritual discernment in its service with grace. And also spiritual discernment in the blessing of God's church. A sevenfold lesson of instruction on the gift of spiritual discernment and how it's to be used in the church today. Notice, first of all, spiritual discernment and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to talk, first of all, about the nature of spiritual gifts in relationship to the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, because the basic theology of spiritual gifts can be found right here in 1 Corinthians 12, as well as in Romans 12 as well. These two chapters are the key to understanding the nature of spiritual gifts and their use in the church. And Paul says here that discernment is one of the many gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the source of all grace and Christ's gifts to his church. He is the one who applies the work of redemption to us in Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who enlightens our minds in the knowledge of the truth and savingly converts us to Christ by bringing us to faith and repentance, and it is He who gives grace and gifts for the edification of the body of Christ. And so every believer, when they come to faith and repentance in Christ and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, they are given not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also certain gifts of the Spirit to use for the benefit of others in the church. Not only are their lives and talents and qualities sanctified by faith, but they receive gifts of the Spirit for service in Christ's church and kingdom. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were once Gentiles or pagans, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." And then he goes on to say, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So notice Paul says here, every believer has the Holy Spirit in them and is given gifts for the profit of all the church, for other members of the body, other believers. Now likewise in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Paul likewise says there, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Notice Paul here says every believer in Christ is a member of his church and body, is given gifts according to the grace that is given to them by God, and so they are to use them for Christ's sake and the glory of God, for the edification of fellow believers. Now, there are a number of important things to know here about the nature of spiritual gifts from these two passages in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Notice, first of all, that the gifts of the Spirit are spiritual. They're not natural. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, Paul says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." And in verse 7, he says, "Gifts are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in the church." And so the gift of discernment, as all other gifts, is not a natural gift of common grace that is given to anyone. There's certainly a common virtue of judgment that unbelievers may have apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Common sense. That's the work of the law working in their conscience to do what is right. But Paul is speaking here in 1 Corinthians 12 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are especially and only given to believers, those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gifts of the Spirit are spiritual. They're not carnal. They're not natural. They are spiritual gifts, and they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual gifts, therefore, such as discernment, are inherently spiritual, for they're ministered to us by the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ. John Chrysostom rightly said, "He who has Christ has the Spirit, and therefore also his gifts. But he who does not have Christ does not have the Spirit or his gifts." So the gifts of the Spirit are spiritual. Notice, secondly, the gifts of the Spirit are also manifold. They're different. Paul says there are diversities of gifts. And so Paul then lists several here. The gifts of wisdom, knowledge, discernment, faith, healings, prophecy, discerning of spirits and tongues. And then in Romans 12, he lists several others, such as the gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and showing mercy. So there are a variety of different spiritual gifts that Christ gives to his church for the confirmation of the gospel, and for the church's spiritual edification. Just as there are different kinds of people in the world who are believers and who come from a variety of different cultures and backgrounds, there are also a wide variety of spiritual gifts that Christ gives to a church and people for the advance of his kingdom. Just as there are different graces, as we see from the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, there are also a variety of different gifts of the Spirit. And notice, thirdly, the gifts of the Spirit are of God's grace. That's why they are called gifts. They are gifts of the Spirit given to us by God's grace. Like salvation in Christ, they're given to us by God according to his sovereign grace. They're not earned or deserved. They're given to us freely by Christ to be used as stewards of his grace. Gifts are different from grace, but they are all from God's grace. We don't deserve them. Just as we don't deserve to be saved, we're sinners saved by grace, and we're also adorned with gifts of the Spirit by God's grace to use them for his glory and for the edification of the church. And so in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So the gifts of the Spirit are spiritual, they're manifold and different, and they are also of God's grace. Now, fourthly, the gifts of the Spirit are also for the whole church. Every believer has a spiritual gift, though not every believer has each and every gift. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, Paul says, for to each one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, and then on and on. So every believer has at least one spiritual gift, but they are gifts of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit adorns the Christian life not only with grace, but with gifts. Christians, therefore, need to know what gifts they have so they might use them to the best of their ability. In service, in ministry, in preaching, teaching, leading, giving, serving, praying. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Every one of those are gifts of the Spirit, and I can assure you, every true believer has at least one of those gifts. And they are to use them for the body of Christ. Now, fifthly, notice the gifts of the Spirit are from Christ. They are gifts of the Spirit, but they're given to believers by Christ, in Christ, and for the glory of Christ. So spiritual gifts are inseparable from the work and ministry of Christ in his church and for his glory. The gifts of the Spirit, therefore, are to be used for Christ's sake. And so Paul says in Ephesians 4, verses 8 and 9, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he goes on to say, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. So when Christ died and rose again from the dead, he rose with power and with the full blessing of the Holy Spirit to save, as well as to sanctify his church and people with grace and gifts. And to give them spiritual gifts to be used in service to his kingdom and glory. So gifts of the Spirit are gifts from the Lord Jesus Christ that are given to the church, given to God's people, by the power of his death and resurrection. That's their source. Christ died and rose again to not only redeem us from sin, but to pour out spiritual gifts upon his church. And therefore, sixthly, the gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the church, the body of Christ. They're not for a person's individual fame. They're not for a pastor's profit. They are for the edification of the body of Christ. They're to be used for the glory of God and the blessing of others. In verse 7, Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So spiritual gifts are to be used for the help and the blessing of others. We're to serve one another with our gifts, just as we're to serve one another in Christian love. Jesus therefore said, freely you have received, therefore freely give. They're to be used for the edification of the church and others. In Galatians 5, Paul says, serve one another in love. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, pastors and teachers are for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So spiritual gifts are not to be used for our own sake. They're not to be used to profit from. This is one of the greatest evils among pastors today, to profit from the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching and writing. No. And so notice, seventhly, the gifts of the Spirit are no longer revelational. That is, they're to be used in subjection to the authority and the teaching of God's holy word. So, Reformed theologians rightly today divide the spiritual gifts into two broad categories. First, those that are intended primarily to edify the church, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, preaching, teaching, giving, helps, governments, and so on, that are used today. And then, secondly, those that are primarily designed to authenticate the word of God in the apostolic era, such as tongues, miracles, healings, and prophecies. Now, you can see clearly, rightly dividing the word from 1 Corinthians 12, having discernment that this is Paul's intention. The gifts that are designed to authenticate the word of God were signs of the apostles and were available only during the apostolic age when the New Testament canon was not complete. They were revelational and given by Christ to confirm the word of God in the times of the prophets and apostles. These gifts are no longer present in the church, as there are no longer apostles and prophets in the church who are given divine revelation from God, because we have, the canon is closed. We have our Bibles. And we now have, as Peter says, a more sure word of prophecy revealed in Scripture. We don't need to hear the word from apostles and prophets except through Scripture. There's no need for signs and wonders. We have the word of God written in the Old and the New Testament. William Ames rightly said, the Holy Spirit works in us the benefits of Christ's grace and salvation through the Holy Scriptures. For the Holy Scriptures are the alone source of spiritual blessing and the only rule of faith and conduct. And so, there are gifts of the Spirit that were given in the time of the apostles that are no longer seen today, no longer relevant today. And then there are other gifts of the Spirit that are clearly of great importance for the church and the ministry today. So in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10, Paul speaks of when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. There are no more gifts of the Spirit that are revelational. We have the Word of God, so all the gifts of the Spirit directly relate, right, to the ministry of the Word. The Spirit inspired Scripture that it might be glorified in the church, and the gifts of the Spirit, such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discernment, prophecy, tongues, or the interpretation of languages, preaching, teaching, helps, governments, have all to do with the ministry of the word of God today. Not new revelations of the Spirit that contradict the word. No. Spiritual gifts never contradict the word of God. This is what makes the gift of spiritual discernment, of course, so important today. Because there are so many false teachers and heretics out there saying that they have a new word from God, a new revelation. They saw a vision of this or that. And this is really a mark of a cult, a false teacher, to replace the authority of Scripture with new revelations of the Spirit. So God gives spiritual gifts to His church and people for their edification and for the advance of Christ's kingdom and glory in the world. And we can see the importance of understanding from 1 Corinthians 12 here their proper use. Why Christ gave them. The gifts of the Spirit are spiritual. The gifts of the Spirit are manifold. The gifts of the Spirit are of God's grace. The gifts of the Spirit are for the whole church. The gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the church and God's people. And they are to glorify Christ. And they are no longer revelational today. The gifts of the Spirit are given by Christ for the edification of His church and for the glory of God. And so notice secondly, the second point, spiritual discernment and its purpose as a gift today. Because notice closely here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, that Paul says that the discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. What are we talking about here? What is the gift of discernment? We've spoken already about love for God and a life of spiritual discernment in general. What is the discerning of spirits spoken of by the Apostle Paul here? Well, initially the gift had, of course, to do with the light and wisdom that was given to an apostle or prophet by the Holy Spirit that gave them the spiritual ability to discern faithful teachers from false prophets and to be able to distinguish the true word of God from the traditions of men. The Greek word for discerning here is diakrisis, which is closely related to the word diakrino, which means to separate, to judge, to distinguish. So the word carries the idea of making sound judgments or decisions based on separating truth from error, good from evil, sound doctrine from false doctrine, God's will from the work of the devil. So in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we saw before how Jesus used this word to rebuke the scribes and Pharisees for being able to discern the face of the sky, but not the signs of the times. Now think of that clearly. They could predict the weather based on their discriminating analysis. even before, you know, modern times, you know, they didn't have all the technology. That's a natural gift. It's common sense in many ways. They're farmers, but they could not discern the glory of Christ by his words, by his works and preaching. Jesus says they could discern the weather patterns, but they could not discern the signs of the times, nor scripture. They were blind and undeceiving. In John 7:24, Jesus moreover said to the disciples that they were not to judge according to the appearance, but to judge righteous judgment. They were to be careful not to judge according to what? Natural means, but spiritual judgment. In John 16:8, Jesus moreover said to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come, he would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He would guide them into the knowledge of the truth, and he would glorify Christ. So the gift of discernment has to do with the truth. It has to do with righteous judgment. And so we may say that spiritual discernment is the grace, the gift, the faculty, or the ability to discern, to distinguish, or to differentiate issues of truth and moral judgments, right and wrong, from Scripture. To be discerning, therefore, means to show godly judgment with regard to Scripture and sound doctrine. That's the gift of discernment. Matthew Henry wrote this: there are spiritual senses as well as those that are natural. There is a spiritual eye, a spiritual appetite, a spiritual taste, for the soul has its faculties and sensations as well as the body. These are much depraved and lost by sin, but they are recovered and renewed by grace. And it is by use and exercise that these senses are improved, that they are made more quick and strong to taste the sweetness of what is good and true and the bitterness of what is false and evil. Not only reason and faith, but spiritual sense will teach men to distinguish between what is pleasing and what is provoking to God, between what is helpful and what is hurtful to our own souls. So, as we saw before, the gift of spiritual discernment is the ability to distinguish truth from error, right from wrong, godliness from ungodliness, what is pleasing to God from what is displeasing to him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, Paul says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Well, that's the responsibility of every believer, of course. We're all to be discerning, to hold fast to the truth, to test everything, whether it's from Scripture, sound doctrine, and to be careful to abstain from every form of evil, everything that is contrary to the Word of God and displeasing to God. The Apostle John issues a similar warning in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, when he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There John speaks of liars and deceivers and false prophets who corrupt the word of God. So the key to living a godly life in faithfulness of Christ and his word, to be devoted to sound doctrine and growing in the love of God, lies in a believer's ability to exercise discernment, to use godly judgment in every area of life for the glory of God. And a failure to do so, the failure to distinguish between truth and error, of course, leaves a believer subject to sin and temptation and to following the practices of idolatry and false religion, to our own hurt and misery. And so, spiritual discernment is of great importance, not only to the church and ministry, but to every believer. It's the grace and virtue to think biblically about all areas of life and thought and to govern our lives by Scripture and sound doctrine, and to avoid the evils and errors of sin and idolatry. It's important to see that the gift of discernment is a heightened spiritual capacity to judge righteous judgment, to discern true and sound doctrine from false, and to know what is righteous and good to our profit in opposition to that which is either profane or mundane. It's the capacity to separate, to distinguish, to differentiate. But the gift of discernment is this and much more. The gift of discernment, as one Puritan said, is truth and judgment on fire. Truth and judgment on fire. That, I believe, is true. It is the special power and clarity to discern spiritual things, to judge righteous judgment, to differentiate and expose false teaching from sound doctrine, to bring to light spiritual truths that are otherwise hidden and dark to others. Now, that's important. That's important for the church and the Christian life because, you know, there are many false teachers in the world who corrupt the gospel and who exploit people in the world, but there are also, uneducated, unlearned, and undiscerning pastors who lead Christians down the path of that which is sinful and ungodly. John Calvin, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians 12, writes this: "The discerning of spirits was a clear perception in forming a judgment as to those who profess to be something. I speak not of that of natural wisdom by which we are regulated in judging. It was a special illumination with which some were endowed by the gift of God. The use of it was this, that they might not be imposed upon by masks or pretenses, as in impostors or false prophets or religious hypocrites, but might by that spiritual judgment distinguish as by a particular mark the true ministers of Christ from the false." Now, notice how important that is for today. Matthew Henry likewise writes this: "The gift of discernment is the power to distinguish between true and false prophets, or to distinguish the real and internal qualifications of any person for an office, or to discover the inward workings of the mind of the Holy Spirit in the church." See, now notice how John Calvin and Matthew Henry and all the Reformers and the Puritans were very clear as to the significance of discernment in relationship to the ministry and Christian leadership. Listen to Lenski also. R.C. Lenski says this: "Certain difficult cases occur in the church for which more than common Christian discernment is necessary. False prophets love to use deceptive language, and so for the purpose of unmasking these false prophets, the Lord provides the gift of discerning of spirits, and thus enables his church and people to turn away from lying spirits to the one spirit of truth." So the gift of discernment has to do with the testing, the judging, and the discerning of truth from error, good from evil, as well as faithful preachers from false prophets. That's why Paul speaks of the discerning of spirits, just as 1 John 4, in relationship to opposing the Gnostic heresy and false teachers who perverted the gospel. There's nothing that we do in life and in service to God that does not require, then, the grace and ability to discern truth from error, good from evil, right from wrong, wisdom from folly, righteousness from unrighteousness, light from darkness, or, most importantly, faithful ministers from false prophets. It's for this reason the gift of spiritual discernment is so important today, and also related to the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given by Christ to ministers of the Word, as well as others who are called by God to positions of Christian leadership in the church. Notice, the gift of discernment is closely related to what? Preaching, teaching, governing. Ministry, government, leadership. So let's talk thirdly about spiritual discernment in the ministry of the Word. Notice closely here in 1 Corinthians 12 that the gift of discernment is spoken of by the Apostle Paul in close relation to the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, the working of miracles, and the gift of prophecy. Notice that all of these gifts are used for what? For the preaching and teaching of the word. Whether they are past and only apostolic gifts or present, given to ministers of the gospel. And so many scholars have associated the gift of discernment with the gift of preaching and teaching, the study of theology and the ministry of the gospel. And that's right. Rightly dividing the word. That's quite obvious. If you preach and teach the word of God, you ought to be discerning. You ought to be able to discern truth from error and good from evil. That's the point of studying the word of God. And so while many Christians may have the gift of spiritual discernment, every pastor and teacher of the word ought to have the gift of spiritual discernment in a great measure, or he shouldn't be a pastor or teacher of the word. It's one of the greatest problems of the church today. It's one of the main duties of a pastor to have discernment, to expound scripture and sound doctrine, to establish true worship in the church, to avoid idolatry and false religion, to warn others of it, of false doctrine and heresy, and therefore to expound scripture and to build up the saints in the knowledge of Christ and the truth. To strengthen believers not only in the love of Christ, but in true wisdom and knowledge and discernment and the fear of God. Just as we've been looking at from the book of Proverbs. John Calvin rightly said, "Those only who are wise and discerning, as well as sound in faith and doctrine, ought to be ministers of the word, lest the church be led astray from Christ and his pure doctrine." That's the importance of being wise and discerning. Ministers, Christian leaders, should have an abundance of wisdom and discernment. William Ames likewise said, "He that preaches and ministers the word of God must have faith to confront and discernment to judge all things by the word of God." Notice, that's why in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, Paul says this with regard to Christ's giving the church pastors and teachers for the edification of the body. He says, Christ gave to the church pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of their deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. So notice closely here, the ministry of the gospel is to build us up in the faith, to lead us to the full maturity of the knowledge of Christ, but also to warn us of the danger of false teaching. That takes discernment. We need to be able to test, to discern, and judge the spirits by the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul therefore says to Timothy, he says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, which are in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So you see, holding fast the pattern of sound words requires not only grace, but spiritual discernment. Notice also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul exhorts Timothy saying, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own sinful desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves false teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul is exhorting Timothy to be faithful to preach the word in season and out of season, and to warn believers of the danger of false teaching. Timothy is not only to be devoted and faithful to Christ, but discerning and watchful in Christ, because there are times of apostasy and declension which come upon the church, because the influence of the culture and society, evil leaders and false teachers, and Paul warns, saying, believers will be evil affected by them. Now that's why in Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, Paul instructs Titus not to ordain men into leadership unless they're sound in faith and doctrine, and have the courage as well as the discernment to refute false teachers. He says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth.'" You see, spiritual discernment is a necessary gift and grace of the ministry for Christian leadership, for preaching and teaching the word and building up the saints in the knowledge of Christ. It's essential for forming sound aspects of doctrine, a life of true worship and godliness, as well as rebuking idolatry and false religion and false teachers who pervert the gospel. You can see spiritual discernment, therefore, requires also courage and sacrifice and suffering under the cross as well. Just like the apostles and Christ himself, they suffered. Martin Luther said, we ought to be wise and discerning in this world of lies and false doctrine, but we also need the courage to take up the cross and be willing to be reviled for the sake of Christ and the gospel. That's spiritual discernment, especially in the ministry. You look at all the spiritual problems within the church today, you can see the great need for spiritual discernment. Because there are so many that are accommodating to a culture of idolatry and political correctness, corrupting the public worship of God in so many ways, accommodating to the non-Christian cults, and even being in league with them. And then some of the most outrageous and profane things that are being said from the pulpit. It's really tragic. We must always remember, it was by spiritual discernment that the reformers exposed the evils of the Roman Catholic system and brought about the Reformation in both doctrine and practice according to Scripture. It was the gift of spiritual discernment that led the Puritans to rebuke the idolatry and compromise of the Anglican establishment and all the religious hypocrisy of that generation to pursue godly reformation. This is the way to biblical reformation in the church and the ministry, just as it is the way to godly edification in the church. And therefore, the gift of discernment, you can see, is of great importance for the church. It's absolutely necessary for the ministry. Notice fourthly, spiritual discernment and its diversity of application. The gift of spiritual discernment is necessary for all aspects of the Christian life, of the ministry of the word, and all aspects of godly Christian leadership. You can see it's necessary for faithful preaching, for exposition of scripture, the study and teaching of theology, the ordering of public worship, the government of the church, the reputation of heresy and false religion. It's necessary for apologetics and defending the faith. It's necessary for biblical counseling as well as evangelism and missions, all aspects of Christian service. Discernment is necessary for applying the Word of God to all areas of life. All. But I believe there are at least seven categories of spiritual discernment that can be distinguished from each other, though they are also, in many ways, inseparable. Now follow closely, because this is my Puritan logic working here in distinguishing from Scripture, or in Scripture, how the grace and gift of spiritual discernment may be manifested in different individuals for the glory of God and for the good of the church. Okay? There are, I believe, seven. Now that's good to know, because, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, John writes in his benediction, speaking of the sevenfold blessing of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that's necessarily specifically here applied to this, but I think it's important to know this. Seven is the number of perfection. And notice John writes, saying, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. That's a symbolic representation of the Holy Spirit in his sevenfold perfection and blessing. And then John goes on to say, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to talk about, just briefly, the sevenfold diversity of application to this gift of spiritual discernment. And like I said, I'll go over them briefly, but I have entirely a separate sermon lecture on the subject that is more elaborate in explaining all of these different categories and how they're different and how they agree together. But notice, first of all, the gift of spiritual discernment has to do, first of all, with the discerning of spiritual truths. doctrines and principles, whether they are consistent with Scripture or not. So spiritual discernment is first of all necessary for the study of Scripture and theology. It has to do with rightly dividing the Word of God and holding fast the pattern of sound words. Discernment is necessary for the study of Scripture and sound doctrine and for the formulation of divine truth. That's first. Secondly, the gift of spiritual discernment also has to do with the discerning of spiritual practices, whether they are consistent with Scripture and God's commands or not. So spiritual discernment is necessary for living a godly life in following Christ in obedience to God's word, in avoiding sin and idolatry. It has not only to do with truth and doctrine, it has to do with what? Practice and obedience to God's commandments. The discerning of God's law and understanding the application of the law to life. Thirdly, the gift of spiritual discernment has also to do with the discerning of spiritual counterfeits and errors, including idolatry, false religion, and all ideas and philosophies that are contrary to Scripture and sound doctrine. So spiritual discernment is necessary for polemics, for apologetics, for defending the faith against heresy and false teachers, and for confronting errors within the church, false doctrine within the church that undermines God's people. That's a third area. Fourthly, the gift of spiritual discernment has also to do with the discerning of spiritual cases, cases of conscience with respect to the will of God and how they are to be answered by Scripture and good counsel. So spiritual discernment is necessary for making wise and godly decisions in life that are pleasing to God and going, as it were, in the right way. Cases of conscience, spiritual cases, helping others, that even includes, right, aspects of counseling. Fifthly, the gift of spiritual discernment has to do with the discerning of spiritual problems, the proper remedy and cure of them by spiritual counsel from the Word. It means having a sincere faith, a tender conscience, and a holy regard for helping others in their problems. So spiritual discernment here is necessary for all aspects of biblical counseling, Christian service, ministries of mercy, and compassion. That would be separate and distinct, but related to all the others. And then sixthly, the gift of spiritual discernment has to do with the discerning of spiritual conflicts, how they're to be judged and brought to peace and reconciliation by Christ and His Word. So it means being able to judge righteous judgment and at the same time being a peacemaker among those who are in conflict. So spiritual discernment is necessary for peacemaking and helping those who are in conflict to be brought to peace and those that are in error brought to repentance and reconciliation. That takes discernment. Of course, Paul speaks of that in Galatians chapter 6. And then also, the gift of spiritual discernment has to do with the gift of prophecy and the discerning from Scripture how to interpret matters in relation to God's providence in the world with ideas, movements, ideologies, nations, wars, pandemics, and the many issues relating to politics, culture, and society. That is also a separate aspect of the gift of discernment. So spiritual discernment is necessary for understanding God's will and providence in history and making wise and godly decisions in relation to world issues, to issues in culture and society, to give wise and godly counsel to believers with aspects of in Scripture with regard to the future. Now, this last point of spiritual discernment is certainly the most rare of them all, being that it basically requires all the other gifts and graces of discernment working together. Now, let me say, there are a number of Christian men that have at least one or two of these gifts, these aspects of spiritual discernment. Pastors and Christian leaders that have three, four, maybe five. And only, few that have five or six, and not many at all, that have all seven. That have all seven of them working in full measure. Christ, of course, is the one who was full of wisdom and knowledge and discernment, and he had all of them together. But all seven of them are found probably in men like the prophet Isaiah, as well as the apostles Paul and John. And in history, men such as Augustine, Calvin, John Knox, Jonathan Edwards, and a few others. Maybe Luther and John Owen. But when you divide and you look through Scripture carefully, you see, there's a diversity of application to this gift of discernment. As I said, all of these aspects and diverse applications of discernment are found in perfection in one, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is in Christ alone, in his person, in his life and ministry, in his preaching and teaching, in his death and resurrection, that the gifts and graces of spiritual discernment are found complete, in full, unto perfection. And so a life of godly discernment means growing in the knowledge of Christ and his word. It means growing not only in the knowledge of Scripture and sound doctrine, it means growing in the knowledge of Christ, in love for Christ, in faith in Christ, in devotion to Christ, in obedience to Christ, and learning to follow and imitate Christ. Because he is the model of perfection. Thomas Brooks, therefore, said, a life of true wisdom and godly discernment is found in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in the knowledge of him. For there is in Christ a fullness of divine perfections and excellencies that are sufficient for all of our needs and necessities. Christ is the one in whom we are not only to trust for grace and salvation, but also to learn true discernment. And so the more Christ and his word fills our hearts and minds, the wiser and the more discerning we will be. For in him are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The love of God and the truth of God is sanctified in our hearts and minds as we look to Christ, as we trust him, and we devote our lives to him. That brings us to the fifth point, spiritual discernment and the combating of evil. Notice that Paul, here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, speaks of the gift of discernment as the discerning of spirits. So as we saw before, the gift of discernment has to do with the testing, the judging, and the discerning of spirits. That is people, as to whether they are true or false. This has especially to do with the evaluation of doctrines and practices, as well as preachers and individual consciences. So the gift of discernment needs to be used in the church to expose that which is evil, that which is contrary to God's truth. Well, that might be controversial, but that is one of the main reasons for the gift of discernment. Ambrose, the early church father, said, godly judgment taken from the Holy Scriptures will always cut like a knife to the heart of the problem. Yes. So what are we talking about here in the combating of evil? Well, first of all, the gift of discernment is designed to expose the subtle designs and dangerous influence of false teachers. So notice here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks of those who call Jesus a curse and who are not boasting in their wisdom and knowledge. He says, these people are heretics. So he says, no one speaking by the Holy Spirit says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now this is discernment. A rebuke to false teachers who are perverting the gospel in Corinth, who are teaching a false gospel of antinomianism, denying the lordship of Christ and obedience to the law of God. Now, Paul speaks often of the dangers of false teachers through his letters, like the Corinthians, but then in Galatians he warns of the Judaizers, who perverted the grace of God and denied justification by faith alone in Christ. There's the double problem, of course, of both the Judaizers and the antinomians. But here in his letter to the Corinthians, the influence of the false teachers are of the Gnostic type who reject the authority of Scripture and rely on mystical speculations and subjective experiences that were in fact demonic. They were ungodly, they were immoral, they rejected the authority of Scripture, the biblical doctrine of creation, the abiding validity of the law of God, the headship of men. In fact, they were a lot like liberals in all the deviant forms of Christianity. They're popular today. And that's widespread and growing because of the New Age heresy. The point here is the gift of spiritual discernment that God gives to the church is designed to expose false teachers. Now, this takes not only knowledge of Scripture and sound doctrine, but also discernment to judge truth from error. That's why in 1 John 4, verse 1, John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Likewise, in Matthew 7, Jesus warned, saying, "False prophets will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." You will be able to discern those who are faithful to Christ and His Word from those who are liars and deceivers. By what? By the fruits of the Spirit. By their fruits. Whether they're faithful to Christ or they're liars. Peter likewise speaks of the danger of false prophets and the importance of detecting them before they destroy and undermine the church. We're to beware of the evil and the danger of false teachers. Jude, likewise, the apostle Jude says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness and who deny the only Lord God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So, discernment is necessary for the detection and rebuking of false teachers, especially those of the antinomian type and of the Judaizing type that deny the doctrines of grace. But notice the gift of discernment is designed also to expose and correct the evils of false doctrine within the church that comes from fellow believers or teachers who are untaught in the Word. And so Paul speaks of the discerning of spirits after he speaks of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, which of course today is simply preaching. The art of prophesying is the gift and ability to preach. See, God wants his people to be built up in the faith and sound doctrine. He doesn't want us to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but to be established in the faith, grounded and steadfast. And so he wants those who are most gifted in knowledge and preaching and doctrine to be used to instruct his church and people and to correct those who speak error or who contradict the word of God, who cannot rightly divide the word of God. Now, sometimes that might be a small matter. Other times it might be a grave matter of significant consequence and importance for the church. But Paul is saying that spiritual discernment is necessary for the instruction and edification of the body, that the church might be sanctified by the will of God. And those who do not speak faithfully according to Scripture shouldn't preach, shouldn't teach. They should be corrected. How far does that go? With regard to the teaching of Scripture and sound doctrine, the administration of the sacraments, the whole issues with that. There's all kinds of issues that that leads to. Because there are just way too many pastors and Christian leaders today that are uneducated. They're ignorant of Scripture and sound doctrine. To say outrageously stupid things. And sometimes maybe not necessarily from the pulpit, but you get them separate one by one and they say outrageously profane and evil things that is contrary to Scripture and sound doctrine. They may sound reformed from the pulpit and they're totally liberal when you talk to them privately. It's scandalous. Notice thirdly, the gift of discernment is designed to expose the evils of idolatry. And so here Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 warns of the danger of their past idolatry and the evils of it being from Corinth. So in verse 2 he says, "You know that you are Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols. But now you're led by the Holy Spirit to know the truth and to walk in wisdom and discernment for Christ's sake." But Paul is warning them of the real danger of idolatry even though they are believers. Idolatry is a constant snare to the church. God hates idolatry and false worship. In Leviticus 10, after striking Nadab and Abihu down in his wrath for offering strange fire on the altar, the Lord said, I will be exalted in those who come near me, and before the all the people, I will be glorified. It's important, therefore, that Christians be discerning of the true nature of worship from the false, the profane. The gift of discernment is therefore used to cleanse the church from idols, just as Jesus whipped the money changers out of the temple. God doesn't want idols and profane things in the church that distract people from the truth. Right? Jesus whipped the money changers out of the temple. He overturned the tables. He rebuked the religious leaders of the day and said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've met it a den of thieves. The buying and selling of books and different things in the church, that's profane. That's a form of idolatry that needs to be rooted out. Martin Luther, therefore, said, wisdom and discernment come often with a whip. Think of that. Wisdom and discernment come often with a whip. Do you know what it was for Jesus to whip the money changers out of the temple for what they were doing? The selling of doves? For the sacrificial worship? Many people would think, oh, that's a great idea. Sell, sure. Capitalize on that. No, it's profane. Notice fourthly, the gift of discernment is designed to expose the evils of sinful and ungodly behavior. You know, the church at Corinth was, of course, overtaken by all sorts of sinful patterns and worldly behaviors. Corinth was the Las Vegas of the ancient world, the Hollywood, the New York. In fact, in the ancient world, to Corinthianize meant to fornicate. Paul, therefore, speaks forcefully here and throughout his letters to the Corinthians to be discerning, to cleanse themselves from the evils of the world. The whole letter is a testimony, of course, to Paul's spiritual discernment in applying Scripture to all the problems in Corinth, as we saw in our exposition of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Right? Paul saw that while the church at Corinth boasted in their knowledge and in their spiritual gifts, they were, in fact, very worldly and, in fact, ungodly in their lives. And even the pastors and leaders lacked discernment. In 1 Corinthians 6, he says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor covetous, nor effeminate, homosexuals shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all them. The wicked and the ungodly aren't going to heaven, no matter what they profess. So he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So the gift of discernment is to be used in the church to expose moral evils, to cleanse the church and the body from sin, and to lead believers to a life of holiness, Christian love, serving Christ. And then also, it's interesting to note, the gift of discernment is designed to expose the evils of dissension. So Paul speaks here in 1 Corinthians 12 of the unity of the church and the importance of keeping peace and love among believers. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul therefore reproves the church for taking their personal disputes before unbelievers to secular courts, instead of those who are discerning, who have godly judgment in the church. This is a real problem even today. And so Paul says, can it be that there is no one who is wise enough among you to judge between brothers? The word for judge here is dikrino. Carries the idea of settling a dispute with wisdom and discernment. Those who are wise and discerning are to judge between brothers and settle disputes according to Scripture to bring about peace and reconciliation. And when a brother needs repentance and reformation, that's true too. Dissensions and divisions in the church today are because there's a lack of wisdom and discernment. Philip Schaff said, divisions and dissensions in the church among brethren are mended by a wise and discerning sense of divine truth and Christian love. How important is that today? See, it's not just discerning sound doctrine, right? Discerning true worship, discerning how to live a godly life in Christ and keeping God's commandments. No, the gift of discernment is also designed to expose the evils of the dissension and to bring Christians to peace and reconciliation. You see how important spiritual discernment is for the church today and why it's so necessary. Many of the problems in the church and the lives of believers can be mended by Christ through the grace of God and a greater use of spiritual discernment. Well, notice sixthly, spiritual discernment and its use with grace. Now, we must distinguish the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the graces of the Holy Spirit. right? Of course, every gift of the Spirit comes with grace, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not always used with grace. Every Christian needs grace to serve God. Grace is the vital principle of Christian life. And so we're not only saved by grace, but we're to live by grace. And we're to use grace. In Romans 5:15, Paul speaks of the gift of grace. John 1:16 says, we have all received grace for grace. All throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to have grace lead us and direct us. Hebrews 12:28 says, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In Hebrews 13:9, the heart must be established with grace. So the graces of the Holy Spirit are those things which make us godly, more like Christ. They are virtues, such as faith, hope, and love, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. There are also other such graces as godliness, righteousness, and holiness. So you see, for the better exercising of our spiritual gifts, including the gift of discernment, we need the grace of God. We need to be enriched with grace, sanctified by grace, empowered by grace. We need to be led by grace. We need to use the gifts of the Spirit that God gives us with grace. And that, of course, includes the gift of spiritual discernment. Notice in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. There Paul is talking about how we live, we serve, we communicate with unbelievers. Well, we're to walk in wisdom, we're to speak with wisdom, and we're to use grace. Augustine rightly said, we do nothing pleasing to God but by his grace, and the more grace we have from him, the better we please him and shine unto others his glory. We need grace. I like what Thomas Watson said. He says, gifts without grace are like instruments without harmony. They make a sound, but they are displeasing. Have you ever heard of the new forms of symphony music called dissonance, the modern kind? They're very noisy. They're nothing like the classical and romantic pieces. It's same with gifts. It's important that we use grace in our discernment. Otherwise, we will just be critical and condemning of everything. Spiritual discernment, therefore, needs to be used. And that especially with Christian love, right? In 1 Corinthians 8:1, Paul says, knowledge puffs up, love edifies. And so notice, after 1 Corinthians 12, after speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, Paul goes on to speak of the importance of Christian love in the church. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, or we might say grace, the grace of love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And Paul goes on to say that while Christian love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, yet love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And that's why the use of gifts and the use of spiritual discernment must be used with grace and Christian love. John Trapp said in The Christian Life, while truth must lead the way, grace and love must keep our step along the way. So we're to do all things out of love for Christ and love for others. What does that look like, though? Because that doesn't mean spiritual discernment is soft. Nor does it accommodate to blatant patterns of sin and idolatry. No. Spiritual discernment can be patient and long-suffering, but spiritual discernment in practice is tough love. Comes often with rebuke and admonition as well as mercy and compassion. The Old Testament prophets all had a great measure of spiritual discernment. They rebuked the sin and idolatry of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is, of course, perfect wisdom and knowledge and spiritual discernment, as we saw before, cleansed the temple, overturning the tables and whipping the money changers. He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, condemned them to hell, and he also admonished the disciples at times for their sin and unbelief. Spiritual discernment is a part of all aspects of ministry. As I said before also, it was spiritual discernment that led the reformers to reform the church and the Puritans to approve and admonish the Anglican establishment. Matthew Henry said it well, "Repentance and reformation of life sometimes come softly to our ears and hearts by the word, but most often it comes with great power and conviction." So spiritual discernment, yes, is sometimes soft. A soft answer turns away wrath. But in the church, among ministers and leaders, it often comes with rebuke, admonition, and conviction. And that leads us to the last point, and I'll be brief on this point. Seventh point, spiritual discernment and God's blessing on His church. I hope you can see from all that we've said that the gift of discernment is especially needful today and given by Christ for the blessing of God's church and people. All right, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, "For the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all." It is for the profit, the spiritual blessing of believers. It is for the profit and blessing of God's church and kingdom. The gifts of the Spirit are given to believers for the profit of the church, for its protection, its instruction, its blessing, its purification, its sanctification, its reformation. You see, God is holy and He wants His people to be holy. The church is the dwelling place of God, and so it is right and appropriate that the gifts of the Spirit, including the gift of discernment, is in order for the building up of the body in truth and love. In Ephesians 5, Paul therefore says, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." So notice three things briefly on this last point with regard to God's blessing on His church. Notice, first of all, the gift of spiritual discernment is for the instruction of God's church and people. Christ instructs us in the knowledge of the truth by the work of discernment through the faithful ministry of the Word. It is discernment to divide the Word, expound the Word, preach the Word, and teach the Word. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of their deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, it's when the Word of God is rightly divided and expounded in truth with wisdom and discernment that we grow in grace and the knowledge of God. We grow up in Christ. We're instructed in Christ. Right? That's why in 1 Timothy 4, Paul exhorts Timothy, saying, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, we will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." So the gift of spiritual discernment is necessary for the instruction of the church, for the edification of the saints, for the faithful preaching and teaching of the word. Secondly, the gift of spiritual discernment is for the protection of Christ's church and people. The Lord Jesus Christ protects His people from sin and idolatry and error and false religion and stumbling by the work of discernment through the faithful ministry of the Word. It is to keep us on the path of righteousness that we don't stumble and fall. And so Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That is to build us up and to keep us faithful John Owen said, the Lord Jesus Christ guards and protects his flock by means of the faithful preaching and teaching of the word. And that, of course, takes spiritual discernment. So the gift of spiritual discernment is for the instruction of Christ, church, and people. It's for the protection of Christ, church, and people. And then finally, it's for the sanctification of Christ, church, and people. The Lord Jesus Christ sanctifies and reforms his church and people by the work of discernment through the ministry of the word. Look, there are many obstacles, not only to a believer's sanctification, but also the church's reformation. There are many cases of conscience. There are many issues of public worship. There are many aspects of preaching and teaching, doctrine and life that takes discernment. We must be wise and discerning in order to be reforming. Spiritual discernment is necessary for reformation. Thomas Cartwright, therefore, said, in approving of those things that are excellent, we must be faithful and willing enough to disapprove of those things that are sinful and ungodly. Apart from this, there can be no spiritual blessing or reformation. There can't be any reformation in life, in church, ministry, doctrine, practice, apart from what? Spiritual discernment. So spiritual discernment may be controversial, confrontational, but used with grace and Christian love, it leads to the greatest spiritual blessing. We need to see that spiritual discernment is of great importance to the church and the ministry today. Faithfulness to Scripture and sound doctrine are of great importance to the church and the ministry today. Because we live in an ungodly world that is getting worse day by day. False teachers and false doctrine abound. Sin and idolatry and rampant. The wickedness of our culture and society increases every day as the demonic agenda of the liberal establishment is being written into law and promoted in our culture and society. And because of this, it's not difficult to see that there is a serious lack of spiritual discernment in the church today. There's a spiritual downgrade. There is spiritual dissensions everywhere. Christians are divided, and many are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and easily led astray. And that is tragic. The church needs revival and reformation. The church needs wisdom and spiritual discernment. And that is primarily given to pastors and Christian leaders to use for the edification of the church and the faithful preaching and teaching of the word. We're to remember, as William Ames said, those who betray the truth by compromising with error soon become incapable of discerning between truth and error. That's sadly what we are seeing today. And so, for this reason, we need to be faithful to Scripture and sound doctrine, that we might be wise and discerning. We must look to Christ, to his example and excellency, to be wise and discerning. We need to give thanks to God for those who are wise and discerning. We need to pray for pastors, for elders, and for all of God's church and people today to be wise and discerning. And we need to especially listen to and support in the ministry only those who are wise and discerning. Otherwise, the church will continue down the spiritual downgrade. Spiritual discernment is necessary for the faithful ministry of the word, the glory of God, the edification of the saints, and the godly reformation of the church. And so we need to remember always, as John Trapp said, those who are wise and discerning in their knowledge of Christ are those who are able to lead others to the greatest spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for your holy word, which makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Wise and discerning in the knowledge of the truth and sound doctrine. Wise and discerning in keeping on the path of righteousness in obedience to your commandments. We pray that you would sanctify our hearts in wisdom and all spiritual discernment to love, honor, and serve you, to advance your kingdom and glory in the church, and to see Christ exalted and glorified. We pray, Father, that you would bring revival and reformation to these sinful days that we live. Grant repentance to those who are in leadership in ministry who are unwise and undiscerning, and lead them to a greater knowledge of the truth Sanctify in the hearts and lives of all your church and people a greater devotion to truth, all for the glory and praise of your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.